Welcome to Focus on the Community, a weekly program that focuses on issues and events in our community.
And welcome to another Focus on Community. How you doing? I'm Frank Rush. Happy weekend to you this weekend. Well, first of all, I want to tell you that if you missed part of the show and you want to, you can always go to our website. We've got it posted for you there as a podcast. If you missed part of it, you can download it or stream it. Now, our guest this weekend is Vigo County Sheriff John Plassey. How you doing?
Good, Frank. How are you?
Not bad. So there's all kinds of things going on with law enforcement nowadays, some to deal with law enforcement, some with not, but you're having to take care of a lot of stuff. So I guess we'll start off with what everybody's talking about, and that's the COVID thing. You're a survivor.
I am.
I know it sounds weird to say that, but since so many have not, the fact that you have survived it and come out of it basically okay, as far as I know. I mean, no lingering side effects.
Correct.
Okay. Pretty tough stuff, isn't it?
It is. It's no joke. It takes a lot out of you. And like you said, a lot of people haven't recovered from it. We've had a lot of deaths in Indiana and even in Vigo County. Unfortunately, those numbers are really on the increase now. And hopefully our citizens, our community will do what's right. Mask up, practice social distancing, use hand sanitizer, and we'll get through this together.
The governor, of course, has come out with his edicts on, you know, how many people in restaurants and this, that, and the other thing. And of course, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are hard pressed on both sides of this. Some people are all for it, and they think if you're not wearing a mask, then you should wind up and be the next inmate. Or if you don't want to wear one, then they don't even want to see you guys walk around. How's the official sheriff's department's position on the governor's orders?
I mean, we support wearing masks. I support wearing a mask. I wear a mask when I'm out.
Yeah.
We are not going to cite anyone if they're not wearing a mask. Now, there are certain businesses that don't allow you in there without a mask on. So if you are at that business and they ask you to leave and you refuse to, then if they call us, we get involved and you could be arrested for trespassing. We don't want to do that. It's a simple task. Either wear the mask or leave that establishment. It's pretty simple.
Have you had any calls like that yet?
Luckily, we haven't. So most people either are doing their job or the businesses aren't calling. But I know other areas have had those, and we'll do our job if we have to, but I just ask, please don't make us do that.
I would say it's probably safe to assume that you probably have more on your plate that's probably more important than writing tickets for not wearing masks.
You know, there's a lot more things going on in Vigo County than most people realize, and it's a pretty big square mile area to cover with the limited resources. We have typically four deputies on a shift working to answer calls, so if we have some serious issues going on or your family needs help for something and we're dealing with you because you're not wearing a mask, just think of the consequences that one simple thing could cause and the after effects that could cause.
When we talk about that, yeah, there's limited resources. And you guys, I mean, you work with city and state and all mm-hmm. that kind of stuff, but still you're pretty much charged with protecting the entire county.
Absolutely. City is great. The state police helps us whenever they can. So without them, we really couldn't do an effective job. But there is a lot to do that we're out on our own doing. And again, our community support, though, I can't ask for anything better. Our community helps us when we have, you know, a Crime Stoppers report. We put out information on somebody that's wanted or we're looking for. The community's response has been terrific. Going back to my days as chief of Terre Haute Police, we had great, you know, community support. They'll let us know what's going on. And we really can't do our job without our community helping us. And I couldn't ask for a better community.
I was going to say, I would think that being a former chief, you probably get along with the city guys at least okay.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Some of the folks who were working under you when you were chief at the city are still there and now running it.
Right, right.
So
yeah, and there's a lot of guys there now since I left that weren't there when I left. There's just a lot of older officers retired from the city in the last couple of years since I've been gone. And
how is the turnover? Not just with the sheriff's department. I mean, I know you used to work for city, so you've got an idea of what's going on there. But with things as they are nationally, I don't know. I guess would be wanting to know who wants that job.
Well, you're right. You're exactly right. And I have had that thought myself of if I was starting now to do a career, what I want to do in law enforcement with all that's going on.
I mean, you don't make a lot of money. You've got, at least in the bigger cities anyway, and some to extend here, you've got people that just don't like you.
Absolutely.
You've got a star on it, so that makes you an instant target.
Mm-hmm.
You've got some people that literally would make you a target
because
they just don't like you.
Right.
Not you personally. They just don't like anybody.
The uniform.
Yeah.
Right.
So with all that said, I mean, you're not going to get rich doing this job. You could conceivably lose your life doing this job.
Sure.
And just pulling somebody over maybe to help them out is likely to get you cussed out the same as thanked.
Right, because you don't know, number one, who that person is, what they've done, or why they're off the side of the road. And a lot of law enforcement officers have died that way, not knowing who's up in that vehicle that they're stopping or even going to help. So, you know, we just finished our hiring process and had our list done, and we're interviewing some people. And that was one of the questions that we asked.
Why do you want to do this? Yeah.
And it's really, I guess it was heartwarming for me to hear some of the responses that their heart's in the right place. They're doing it because they care about this community. They care and they want to serve this community and help people that are in need. And we need more people like that. Unfortunately, we haven't seen a lot this year in applicants because of what's going on nationally. And a lot of officers have left due to age and being ready to go. But a lot of them, I think, have went because of the national events and the attitudes towards police. And that's unfortunate because there's some good people that had many good years to give still that just thought, I'm done with this. It's not worth it. And went somewhere else.
Well, on top of that too, let's face it. One bad apple does taint the whole
Absolutely.
Bunch. And it's not just in law enforcement. It's with anything. I mean, there's bad DJs out there too.
Sure.
You know? I mean, there's bad people in every industry. Unfortunately, though, since you guys are charged with enforcing the laws, that does give you a little bit step or two up the totem pole, so to speak, as far as notoriety.
Right.
And that's got to be a concern for you as sheriff, the chief law enforcement officer of the county. You've kind of got to watch out for people doing those things, doing the wrong things.
Right. And that's my job. As chief, that was my job. And as sheriff, it's my job to make sure, you know, my deputies are doing what they're supposed to do. They're not violating anyone's rights. They're not abusing their authority. And just like you said, one bad incident, people paint us in the same brush, which isn't fair, but that's the reality of what we face. And we just have to set a good example, work with our community, show them who we are. And again, we've had much success here. Our community really supports us. I couldn't ask for more support from our community, but there are people in our community that don't support us. There's people in our community that don't like us. And we still have to do our job and do it to the best of our ability.
You go through a lot of training to learn how to handle people.
We do.
And sometimes doing it the way your training tells you to do it also puts you in a dangerous situation, too.
It does, because, you know, today's times are tricky. The reality is the public expects us to be perfect, and we're just not. We're human like anyone else. We make mistakes, and what I've seen nationally is people are just testing officers. They're wanting us to make a mistake. They're doing things, wanting to get shot, wanting to get hurt. And we've seen that. I don't know when that's going to stop, if ever, but it's pretty scary because we're not robots. We make mistakes. We're human. But the bottom line is we have laws to enforce. If people would obey the laws, do what we ask them to do, you will not have an issue with us.
I know your job's a little bit different being the sheriff as opposed to a regular road deputy because you're charged with doing a lot of administrative stuff in the office and a lot of other things. But how much does that really play into the regular guys that you've got on the street, your regular road deputies? How much does that really factor into when they get ready to go out and do a shift? How much does that bother them to think, you know, I might just be a target today for no other reason than the fact that I happen to be sitting in the wrong vehicle?
Well, we try to educate them on those, and part of that's the training. We train them. We learn from things that happen across the country and to be prepared so that doesn't happen to them, to not necessarily be on edge, but to be aware of their surroundings, to not take something for what it seems, but to look into it deeper and make sure it's not something masked, and just for their safety and their awareness. And that's what we try to do, is make them, I guess, more educated to see and understand what they're dealing with and be able to react to that.
Have you seen that kind of attitude cast toward not only officers in your department, but in law enforcement in general here that we see and see the stories on in Portland and places like that? Do you see anything even approaching that?
We've seen smaller numbers of that. During the protest, you know, most of the people that were protesting were peaceful. They're respectful, but we had some that were there that were very disrespectful and not very peaceful. And some arrests were made when that occurred. And, you know, you have to have order. And I support, you know, Americans' right to protest, to their freedom of speech 100%. I'm a military veteran. I fought in Afghanistan to protect our rights and our freedoms, and I would never violate that. But we have heard some things that most people haven't heard. It's unwarranted, and the bad part I see is how it affects some of the younger people. I know it affects me, and I've been doing this for 35 years now. Somebody that's just starting, and to go through that, I really feel sorry for them. I see sometimes I can see the pain in their eyes and what they're dealing with and how they're being treated. And it's not just when, we didn't do anything wrong here and we're being painted in the same brush as somebody that made a mistake that no one condones. No one's ever said it's right, but we haven't done that. We're being blamed for something that someone else did, and it's just not right.
I'm not going to try to take you down a path that you don't want to go to, but you mentioned the fact that you spent time in Afghanistan and over in Iraq and the Middle East and those places like that. Don't you wish that some of the people here could see maybe a quarter of what you've seen over there?
That just reinforces...
It would change their outlook, I have a feeling.
It reinforces how good we have it here in the United States of America. And this is the greatest country in the world. I totally believe that, and I hope the people that are here believe that, because I've seen some countries that are not. I've seen some cultures that I would not want to live in. And I feel for the people that do live in those cultures. But again, most of the people when we were in Afghanistan were friendly towards us and they wanted us to help them. But again, you had the Taliban that didn't, Al-Qaeda that didn't. And that was who we had to face there. But, I kind of reckon Afghanistan, the United States, there's some places that are safe. There were places where we could take our body armor off and not have to worry, but there were places. And no knock on Chicago, but it's like Chicago. I mean, there's so many deaths there every day. And there are places in Afghanistan that you wouldn't go without your full kit and your armored vehicles.
In some cases now, we're starting to see that inch a little closer to home. Mm-hmm. Look at Indianapolis. Indianapolis, all of a sudden, at least from what I can tell from the news side of it, it's a major city now.
Yeah,
they have multiple shooting deaths up there every weekend. It's not to Chicago, but it's getting a lot closer.
Correct. And even here in Vigo County, we're seeing individuals that are acting out like that. We've had three deputies that were shot at this year alone. The city's had more than that, and just the recent deal we had over in Clay County. It's a dangerous profession, and we're reminded of that every day, and not everybody likes us for whatever reason, but we still have a job to do, and we're going to continue to do it.
On a totally different subject, it's not quite as dangerous, but it certainly generates as much interest. Hey, we've got a new jail going up.
We do. And
everybody's in agreement with where it's at, how big or how little it is, or what's going on. But it's still under construction.
Yes. And it's coming along really well, if you haven't seen it. But I'm impressed with the progress they've made, because they've had some weather delays and still continue to do that until it gets completely enclosed. But it's coming along really well.
Still a long ways off. How's things at the current jail before we can walk away from that?
We've got our issues. We had maintenance. I think maintenance is there every day to address something. They were there when I left this morning to come here, fixing another leak in our office. So, it'll make do until we get the new one built, but it's very taxing, and the taxpayers are paying the bill for all the repairs that we're having to make to it right now.
And you're limited as to how many you can put in there. Do we still have inmates going to other counties?
Well, with COVID, it's changed some things. We're delayed in taking, we've had a bunch of inmates sentenced to state time, and they're still at our jail. The Department of Corrections is just slow in getting them out there.
That's been in and of itself has been a problem for quite a while now anyway.
Correct. That's probably the major problem for overcrowding is the state, number one, put the level 6 offenders back in the county jails, and that created a huge problem for most every county in Indiana. Where the parole holds for federal, they're not taking them, so they're sitting in our jail, taking up space. And we recently arrested a guy on a warrant from out of state, so we brought him into jail, and they wouldn't take him because of COVID.
So then what? He walks?
So we released him. Because we were holding them on their warrant out of Illinois. And when they say, we're not going to take them.
And that can be dangerous.
Absolutely. We've got people that should be locked up that aren't. And until we get our jail built, that's going to continue to happen. And I'm sorry, I know we spoke earlier about it. Even once we get the jail built, we're going to have issues with capacity.
I was going to say, because COVID-19's got to be causing you just tons of headaches. Because beforehand, there was not enough space to adequately separate. I mean, obviously, I know that, you know, look, if you go out and you steal a motorbike from somebody as opposed to being a child molester, you really don't want those folks in the same population. You're supposed to kind of separate them a little bit because, let's face it, you're supposed to protect the public, but you also have to protect the offenders too.
And
harm can come to them.
And that's where we classify them when we, you know, incarcerate them, is keep like-minded or like-charged offenders together. And
that's hard to do and still maintain COVID distancing and all that with everything else.
It is. It's very challenging. And it's just really impossible at this point with the capacity that we have and being overcrowded and not having an outlet to take them to.
Is it going to get any better? I mean, I know we're spending a lot of money on this new jail. There was a debate about how big or how little it should be, and nobody saw the pandemic coming. I mean, that was something that didn't even factor in to the talks when this jail was planned. But it's going up now, and all of a sudden now we've got this pandemic. Are you even going to have enough room with the new jail if the pandemic continues?
We'll have enough room for what we currently have, because we had, I think, 311 people in jail Monday, and we have 40-some housed at other jails. So there's 350. We're close to having 400 people in the jail, and if it's rated at 500 beds, the recommended capacity is 80%. So we're right on the doorstep of being at 80%. And that's when you have your challenges with separating by classification and keeping those offenders apart like they should be. So we're going to have challenges, you know, sooner rather than later, I'm afraid, just because what we're building is not, I don't think, big enough to handle what we're going to have in the future.
And that's not even, we didn't even get to the part about male and female offenders. Obviously, they can't go in the same space either.
Correct.
So you've got to have separate areas for them as well.
And that's one of the populations that's really increasing is female offenders, which is kind of surprising. Yes.
Huh. Are we talking what? Violent crimes, drug crimes, or what are we talking about with them, or just everything?
A mixture of both, because we, you know, I guess some of the rhetoric that's been spread is we arrest people on possession of marijuana or for simple possession, and it's just not true. They get a ticket, they don't even go to jail for that. The offenders
but
we have
it
now,
is still illegal here in Indiana. Anyway.
It is still illegal, but it's we'll give you a ticket and you'll go to court. You won't go to jail unless you have a dealing amount by statute. But the minor crimes, we're not even holding them now. They don't even, especially with COVID, there's a lot of kind of catch and release, if you want to call it. They get cited. They have a court date later down the road. They don't even see the jail at that time. Now, it's what happens when they don't make their court appearances or whatever. Then they get a warrant issued for them and we pick them up. And then the judge will see them and hopefully set them straight or keep them there longer if they need to.
I was told this by your predecessor in that job, that the majority of people that you have in the jail are not necessarily there for what they've done. They're there for what they didn't follow through on, meaning they were there on court orders because they didn't show up in court and they didn't do something else they were supposed to, or parole violations or something like that. It's not that they've done something now. They just didn't live up to their past promises and their past sentences.
And a lot of those are people that are repeat offenders. A lot of them, they're on probation. They violate it by committing another crime. And you just can't allow them to be out because they're your chronic offender. And they won't stop unless we stop them from being able to do what they're doing out here.
Hmm. And that makes people kind of nervous because of the fact there's probably people out there walking the streets that shouldn't be.
There are.
You know.
Now, they absolutely are.
I don't know. Of course, that brings up the question that some people say we can't build a big enough jail.
I mean, we need to do other things, too. We need to have programs to help them once they get out or hopefully prevent them from even coming in.
And that's in the works with the new jail,
absolutely.
Right?
And we started a lot of new things at the juvenile center to try to reach out to the kids. Our goal is to have the kids realize this isn't where they want to be and not come to jail because it's not going to be very nice when they do.
It's not quite as scared straight, but it's probably close.
No, but I mean, and the programs aren't like that. They're not in your face. It's more educational. It's more trying to give them opportunities to do something instead of, doing the things that they did to get there. But a lot of it's their family. And it's sad to say that they just don't have the family support to be successful. And the ones that make it out of there really, really applaud because they have the odds stacked against them and they still come out of that.
And for the folks who don't know, you and I talked about this off the air too, divide up your date. We only got about a minute left here, but divide up your day for me. I mean, because you're the same as any other law enforcement officer. You can go out and you can ride the roads and write tickets and go out and investigate a garage break-in or whatever. But that's a pretty small percentage, I think, of being a sheriff. Now, the deputies are different, but to be the chief administrator, chief law enforcement officer, divvy that up in percentages. What do you spend your day doing?
I used to call myself a fireman when I was the chief because I put out a lot of fires.
That's no insult either.
Absolutely. Yeah. But you have, you know, issues you have to deal with. Right now we're building a jail. So we have meetings with jail construction crews and the construction managers to make sure we're doing that right. Have meetings on different boards I'm in. We had applicants we interviewed yesterday for a hiring process. But a lot of it's administrative, going through emails, going through concerns, dealing with issues at the jail. It's more of a just reactionary thing. You react to what people bring to you, but then you also want to be, you know, not really can think of the word I'm trying to say, but you want to make sure you take care of problems before they occur and be proactive and, try to identify problems you're going to have and learn from mistakes of the past and not do those again and just try to have the best product we have for our deputies out here for the community. And that's the goal, is to make sure our community is happy with us and they're supportive of us, because again, we can't be successful without community support.
I've had more than a couple of sheriffs tell me that the least amount of their job was actual law enforcement.
Yep.
The vast majority of it was office work.
It is. It's basically an office manager, or I don't want to say a babysitter per se, but you're just over a staff and over a jail staff and over the inmates. So you've got quite a few people you're responsible for. So you have a lot of things that come along with that and going through bills and things like that. That's not a big part of my job, because obviously office managers help do that. But
yeah,
you want to know what's going on. You don't want to say, well, what was this for? Well, I have no idea. So you want to be informed and know what your job entails.
Yeah. All right. Vigo County Sheriff John Plazzi, you running again? You got 2 more years to go.
I am.
All right.
I've had some challenges this last 2 years and some times where I thought, why did I ever get asked that question? Why did you even, you ask yourself that? And I do sometimes, but I think we've got a great thing going with the Vigo County Sheriff's Office. We're making some positive changes and improvements. I think the goal of any sheriff is to make that office better than it was when he came in. I look forward to continue doing that if the voters will have me.
By law, you're limited to 2 terms and you're halfway through the first one. So,
correct.
So you got, 6 more years if you get reelected.
If the voters choose so, then.
You're a brave guy.
Thank you.
Vigo County Sheriff John Plazzi, thanks for being with us today. If you missed any part of today's show, you want to hear it again, you can download it or stream it on our website as a podcast. We'll see you next weekend.
You've been listening to Focus on the Community, a weekly public affairs program that focuses on issues and events in our community. To be considered as a guest on Focus on the Community, contact us by calling 812-420-2518. Be sure and tune in again next week at this time as we focus on the community.